Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey, what's up? This is Brian Tishy from Whitesnake. And you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Christy Hemme, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
All right. Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Yes, this is Jim Brewer, and you're listening to Talking Metal!
Hi, this is Ian Hill from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Vicio, you're rocking with Talking Metal. Fucking A.
What's up, this is Dave Navarro, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Devin Townsend from Strapping Young Lad, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Herman Z. German Werbel. You're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Amanda Somerville, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, everybody, this is Veronica from Benedictum, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Glenn Drover, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
You're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Turn it up.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. John Astronomy here, hanging out with Mark at McDonald's on 42nd Street.
Yeah, we actually are not eating at McDonald's. We just snuck in here. It's still a little cold out in New York City, right across the street from the dreaded Spider-Man Broadway show. B.B. King's is right down the street. Kind of a cool block. This block back 42nd between 7th and 8th used to be all porno theaters back when I started living in New York City. It's now a really touristy, actually, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, this McDonald's is not your standard McDonald's. It looks like a rock club in here. There's like, you know, three floors. There's, you know, literally, it looks more like a club than a restaurant.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the biggest McDonald's. Period. I would think it's it's like what, 1, 2, 3, 4 floors.
Wow.
Like 4 floors. So really big. Yeah, so New York City, hanging out with John Astronomy here on Talking Metal. I wanted to, right off the bat, plug our friend Kevin's website, Anti Music. It is the place to go for all your music news, not just heavy metal and hard rock, just music news in general. Every day he has the day in rock up there. So definitely check out antimusic.com. He is always great, always posting our releases and stuff like that. So thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Anti Music. Tommy Lee is coming to Sci-Fi. My former employer has announced that they are going to have the Tommy Lee reality show. So look for that coming soon. Who knows? Maybe we'll even get Tommy Lee on the show here.
It'd be great to have Tommy Lee on the show. Why don't we hear a little Motley Crue?
Sounds good. Here is Looks the Kill by Motley Crue.
That was Looks That Kill by Motley Crue right here on Talking Metal, coming to you from the gigantic McDonald's, 42nd Street, Manhattan. So, Mark, we have a great episode for everybody planned today. We have interviews that you did with Glenn Drover, who, of course, used to be in Megadeth, played on United Abominations, and we have Veronica Freeman from Benedictum.
That's right. And we'll get right into the Glenn Drover interview, and then we'll come back and get our weekly Ace Frehley update from John, of course. But let's get into a little Megadeth. You want to pick a song off of United Abominations?
I love the title track, as you guys know. Would that be cool to play the title track?
Absolutely. Let's check it out. United Abominations by Glenn Drover and Megadeth. And then we'll get right into my interview. I recorded it about 2 weeks ago. So check it out. Here's Megadeth.
It's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Glenn Drover. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. You have a new record out, which we want to talk about, which I was able to hear on the site on a link that was sent to me. It's called Metalusion. Is the album currently out?
It's released on the 5th of April. Coming up real quick.
5th of April. Great. And the track...
There's a single that's available right now on iTunes. If you want to call it a single, it's basically we took one of the songs off the album, which was track one, a song called Ground Zero, and we also did an alternate version of it. So there's two different versions of the song on iTunes just for now until the album's release.
Okay. I actually heard that song, and it sounded great. A very almost Di Meola feel to it, Al Di Meola, who I'm assuming may have been an influence of yours.
Sure. Yeah, definitely one of my influences growing up, absolutely.
And this album is, much like Al Di Meola's work, is instrumental, right?
Correct, yeah.
And who's playing with you on this record?
Well, the band consists of myself, Chris Sutherland, who is the drummer. He also is the drummer for Tim Mitchell's band. He played with Saga for a while as well. Speaking of Saga, Jim Gilmore is the keyboard player. And he also plays in Saga. And bass player, a buddy of Chris from Winnipeg, where he lives, the guy's name is Paul. And they're just all phenomenal musicians, you know. So really happy to be working with these guys. And there's also some guests on the album that guest guitar players that we brought on. And, which play in, various songs. Vinnie Moore.
Cool.
Chris Poland. Jeff Loomis and Steve Smythe and Frederick from Opeth as well.
Will there be plans to tour at all behind this record?
Well, there's no plans put in place right now, but we certainly will be playing. It's just, we just finished the album, not too long ago and spent a lot of time on that. It was done over a long period of time, but towards the end, there's a lot of work going into analyzation and mixing and mastering and so forth. But the album comes out at the beginning of next month. So after that, it's definitely going to be hopefully putting some things in motion real quick. But there's no plans right now.
Okay. Now you've done playing with everybody from Megadeth to Testament to King Diamond, but let's go back into like maybe the early 90s. Can you talk a little bit about your history and what you were doing, let's say, prior to joining King Diamond?
Sure. Me and my brother Sean, who is the current drummer for Megadeth, we formed a band called Eidolon in the early 90s, which, oddly enough or not, started off as an instrumental project. We just came up with a strange name, Eidolon, would be called, and stuck. we never changed as that project then morphed into, you know, getting into vocals and becoming more of a metal band, you know. Basically what we did was we did, you know, some independent recordings in the earlier part of the 90s. And then by the time we hit, I guess it would have been 2000, we had already put out, you know, about four or five albums. Some were independent and some were with Metal Blade. And we basically ran with that all the way up till the time that we joined Megadeth. So we had that band going throughout my time in King Diamond and the early part of being in Megadeth. But it was primarily more a recording outfit. We played a handful of shows. You know, we played some cool festivals like Bakken and stuff like that. But, you know, not very many. We didn't do any tour or anything like that. It was more of a recording-based band. But was a great stepping stone for me and Sean, you know. Because had it not been for that and me being in King Diamond, we wouldn't have wound up, you know, getting into Megadeth and so forth.
Cool. And you played with Megadeth for about, I guess, 4 years, and you were on the live record, and you also were a part of United Abominations. And what happened? You just, there was, on your Wikipedia page, I think it says you were looking to spend more time with your family. Is that basically why you left Megadeth?
No, of course not. I mean, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, I mean, this is kind of an old story now, you know, but I'll just tell you briefly. The whole thing was basically I left and you know, I'm a pretty personal person. I don't believe in, you know, airing dirty laundry and getting into details about, you know, certain personal situations like that. So, you know, I mean, yeah, that was, I definitely wanted to spend more time with my family because I hadn't been home in practically 4 years. But obviously, I'm not going to leave a band of that size because I want to stay home with my family. And it has my brother in it. So anybody who reads that, you got to know that there's something more to the story.
Right.
And of course, there is. It was fun in the beginning. Towards the end, it wasn't. It was quite miserable, in fact. And, you know, when you put that in a blender along with, you know, oh, I haven't seen my family in years, you know, because of the constant touring and everything else. And I'm just, you know, as fucked up as it sounds, it'd be miserable. Sorry, I'll take that back. To be, you know, in a band of that size and not be happy, there's something wrong. So, and I know I don't need to elaborate on that. So basically that's what happened.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with, I'm just going to stay home and I'm not going to play music anymore and all the silly things that people misread or I don't know what happened. Very strange. And, you know, that's what it is, man. It's, you know, I just wanted to get out of that situation, but, you know, do something that's going to make me happy. And that's what I'm doing right now. Anything that, you know, that's the best way to live, you know, as we know, you know. Got to be tolerant with whatever you're doing and to be excited about it. Well, it's just a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So let's go back and talk about some of your influences. We mentioned Al Di Meola before. How about more rock and metal players? Who are some of your favorite players?
Well, God, there's so many, you know, starting with Tony Iommi would be one of my first heroes, you know, and then after that it'd be Kim Mitchell, definitely. Randy Rhodes, definitely. Yngwie Malmsteen, George Lynch, Warren D. Martini. Dave Gilmour, of course. So many. Vinnie Moore, of course. Paul Gilbert. So a lot of, you know, those type of players. Players that I like the guys that have the technique, but I like the guys that they're more of a package. It's like they have the technique, but they have great feel. They have great phrasing. They have great vibrato. They're really good rhythm players. Not just somebody who just plays fast, you know. My dog could probably do that.
Right.
We just, you know, that's for me, that's more exciting, and that's more musicianship, this having a well-rounded player where you have all those important elements all wrapped into one.
Sure.
To me, that's what makes a great musician, be it, you know, a drummer or bass player, keyboard player, or guitar player.
Now, on the new instrumental record, Metalusion, you mentioned Vinnie Moore is a guest on that record, as as well as being one of your influences. How did he come to the project?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I've never met Vinny in person, although I played, you know, when I was at Megadeth, we played various festivals, and UFO was there and stuff like that. I never actually got to talk to him face-to-face, but we did talk on the internet. My brother Sean had, you know, after I left the band, you know, wound up being in a certain place where he was, and they started talking and all that stuff. So kind of got to know him a little bit through that, and then just through, you know, a couple little emails here and there. And Vinny knew what I was doing because Sean told him, hey, you know, Glenn, you know, because he had asked what I was doing, whatever, after I left the band. And, you know, Sean would tell me he's working on, you know, instrumental stuff now and this and that. And so by the time I asked him, he already knew kind of where I was going. And he was really receptive to it. And he was all cool with, you know, lending his talent and did a great solo. So really happy about that he played on the record.
And how does it work nowadays? Do you just like send like Pro Tools files out to a guy like that, or does he actually show up at the studio and record with you?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Like Vinnie Moore or some of your other special guests, are they actually coming down to the studio in person with you and playing on the record, or are just
It was everybody did their pieces in their own studios, all of them, and that which to me is a really, really cool concept, you know, of that collaboration type of thing where, you know, you send something to someone, you know, it's not quite complete, and then they put something on it and it starts to develop, you know. I love that kind of thing. And with technology now, it's even easier than it used to be where, you know, before you're sending tapes, ADAT tapes or whatever it was. Remember when they came out?
Yeah.
That was a big thing, you know, and that was awesome. I love that. Love that concept. And that's what happened with this. Everybody did their solo in, you know, either their own studio or they went into a studio and cut, you know, cut their track or tracks. So.
Cool.
But it sounds very cohesive. It doesn't sound like it, you know, it was done that way, but you know, that definitely goes into the whole, you know, mixing process. So.
Yeah. Cool. And can you talk a little bit about your work with Testament? You do, would you say fill-in work when Alex is not able to do shows with Testament?
Well, yeah, like I'd mentioned before, it was basically just, or if I didn't.
Yeah, that was before we actually technically started the interview, so I wanted to take.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Basically what happens is Alex has his own band. He's got a jazz trio or something, and sometimes there'll be a conflict with dates. You know, Testament will have certain dates lined up for shows, and he'll get an offer, and sometimes he, you know, he'd like to, you know, to be able to play those dates with his own band, and so what happens is the guys from Testament will contact me to see if I can to help out so they can you know, just be able to keep those shows intact, and you know, they're friends of mine, so we played together many times, so, and it's fine, you know, it gets me out a little bit and, you know, do a little bit of touring but not much type of thing, you know.
Right. Cool. And
so, and that's a great camp, you know. That's to me, that was, it's just fun. They're just really good people, the way it should be, you know, the way all bands should be, that are touring and doing well. You should, you know, definitely don't ever take it for granted, you know, because it could all end tomorrow. Unfortunately, I met a lot of people that, you know, they just don't get that. But these guys do, you know, they go, they do it for the right reasons. It's about, you know, it's not just for the money or any kind of, you know, all the plastic stuff. It's, they genuinely love what they do. And they're like, still like little kids, you know, just fired up about what they're doing and put out great music and have a blast and play live. That's the way it should be.
Cool. And can you talk about what type of gear you actually play on as far as guitars and amps and effects and stuff go?
Yeah, I use Dean guitars. I've been with Dean for the last 3 or 4 years now. And I use Randall amps. Mm-hmm. I've been with them now for the last little while. As far as effects and stuff, well, the one preamp that I have been using for the last several years is a rack mount by Digitech called the GSP-1101. That's a great unit. But now with the Randalls, I get, you know, the tone, all the tones I'm looking for. So, aside from that, you know, I'm with D'Addario for strings and Jim Dunlop picks and so forth.
Cool. And we have a lot of guitar players in our audience on the Talking Metal podcast here, and I just wanted to ask you about your actual practicing. When you were starting to learn, how many hours a day did you spend practicing the guitar? That's the A part of the question. And the B part of the question is, do you still continue to practice a lot on your own, you know, without the band or, you know,
yeah,
I'm talking
about? I hear you. Obviously, I don't practice as much now because I have a family. I think when you're young and you're single and, you know, and you answer to yourself, you're going to have a lot more time on your hands. But even back then, there was never a set thing where I practiced for 5 hours a day. I just practiced whenever I wanted to. I never thought, oh, I think I should practice. No, it was always that type of thing. But it would usually be a few hours a day.
Right.
You know, for sure. Now, you know, I might get in, but an hour a day or so. You know, sometimes more, sometimes less. Just all depends on what I'm doing, because before I was a guitar player. Now, you know, I do engineering and production and, you know, and I teach music and, you know, I'm all over the map. So there's only so many hours in the day for me to do all the things that I need to and want to do. But I still find time to play, of course, because I still love it. So just have to kind of pick my moments.
Right, you know? Right. I hear you. But you would say... You would say for somebody starting out, it is definitely, I mean, obviously you need to want to do it, but it's also important that you put in, you know, at least a couple hours a day.
Absolutely. Especially when you're just, you know, just starting to pick up, you know, and really start to get going. Those are, you know, it's crucial. I think during those times when you're really starting to evolve as a player and, you know, maybe you've only been playing for about a year or two, but you could see the real progress. That's the time that, you know, but that's, I think the people that are into it, you know, that they're motivated by it and they're hungry to get to that next level. And that's, you know, those are the type of players that excel, of course, you know. You have to want to do it, just like anything else. If you force it, it's half-hearted, you know. I mean, you could tell the difference, usually.
Right, right. And you mentioned that you just mentioned that you do some teaching. Is that like a guitar teaching or instruction?
Yep. And I've been doing that on and off for years. So it's something I love to do. I've been doing it for a long time.
And where does
Megadeth after Megadeth.
And where does the teaching take place? Where are you based out of?
I do online lessons, as well as I teach at a lesson center, which is pretty close to where I live, so I get to do the in-person thing a couple of days a week. But I've been getting more into online, to be honest with you. I find it that it's almost more productive, because when you're like face-to-face type of situation, you know, people could come in, you got to tune up, blah, blah, blah. When you get online, it's like you're ready before you get there. Before you log on, you're pretty much ready to go, you know, so it's a little bit more productive, I find, and you get to use the time a little bit better. And that's purely what I do. I do MSN, but I have a lot of students through Skype.
Ah, okay. So like
it's a free downloadable program, as you know, for when, you know, a decent webcam and away you go. It's real simple, man. And it, you know, you just get like a webcam that has like a built-in mic. But, you know, for people that, you know, if you want to, I still have some openings. I don't have a ton because my schedule is definitely getting pretty full. But the email to contact me for that, for online lessons is gdlessons@gmail.com.
Cool. All right. Well, Glenn, thank you so much. I'm sorry. What was that?
Yep. That's okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Glenn, I was just saying, Glenn, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to get the new instrumental record, Metalusion,
right.
and we wish you the best of luck, and we'd love to get a Talking Metal ID from you before we let you go. Just your name, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, you ready?
Go for it.
Hey, this is Glenn Jover, and you're listening to Talking Metal. We'll be right back.
That was Ground Zero by Glenn Drover from his new record, Metalusion. And guys, check the links on TalkingMetal.com and go to iTunes and buy that.
Yes, definitely. Big thanks to Glenn for joining us. And one of the coolest things Glenn said in the interview is he gives lessons. You don't even have to be in his city to have these lessons. He gives them over Skype on the computer. And he gave his email address out during the interview. We're going to have that posted in today's show notes, too. So any aspiring guitar players out there who want to take lessons from the one and only Glenn Drover, go to TalkingMetal.com to get his email address and email him and hook it up. And we'll write it. You know, people don't like their email addresses written on websites, so we'll spell out the word dot, but you guys will know it's an actual dot for his email address. John, Ace Frehley going on tour?
Well, Ace has some summer tour dates, and three of them have been announced so far. And guys, stay tuned to acefrehley.com because I suspect that some more will be announced. These are the ones that are currently happening. June 18th, and my phone just went off. Okay. Slinger, Wisconsin. It's something called Slinger Rocks, so it sounds like a festival kind of a situation. I got to look further into it. August 13th, Three Forks, Montana, Rockin' the Rivers Festival. And then August 27th, Auburn, Michigan, at the DET Energy Center. That's going to be a show with Alice Cooper. And I believe there are going to be at least three bands, maybe an opening act, and then Ace is going to take the stage, and then after Ace, Alice Cooper is going to take the stage. And guys, if you're listening to this, there was a little confusion over the date. I accidentally posted that this was August 28th, and a bunch of websites like Blabbermouth picked it up and posted that. They have since corrected it once I was informed that I had the wrong date. So thanks to everybody who made the correction on that date. So, guys, definitely, if you're in any of these areas, definitely come and see Ace Frehley because it's going to be a great, you know, great couple of dates. And I suspect, as I said, that there's going to be some more dates. So just keep checking acefrehley.com.
And you'll probably be at those concerts with Ace, right? So if you see Ace, or John for that matter, definitely go up and say hello.
Yeah, no doubt about it, guys. I met a bunch of people down in Tampa at that show, and then I met some Talking Metal listeners at the MonsterCon in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And definitely, if you see me, come on up to me. Or if you're going to be in that town and you're going to the show, hit me up on Facebook and let me know you're coming, because it's definitely going to be a great... you know, a great time. Ace's band is really kicking. They're great. Todd Youth on guitar is awesome. Of course, our friend Anthony Esposito on the bass, and really great drummer named Scotty Coogan. He used to play with Brides of Destruction.
Very good. Cool. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. I was having some Skype/mic level issues when I interviewed Veronica Freeman. I'm going to try to clean it up the best I can, and hopefully you guys can still enjoy the interview with this great singer from this great band. Benedictum is her band. So Veronica from Benedictum. We'll get into a little music by Benedictum. Well, how about start off with At the Gates, and then we'll also close out the interview and the podcast with a little more music from Benedictum. Definitely support these guys. Their album is on iTunes. Support us by going to TalkingMetal.com. Use that link to open your iTunes and buy Benedictum, buy Glenn Drover's Metalusion, and what happens is when you use that link to open your iTunes to buy these songs, anything you buy in iTunes post opening the link, we get a little cut of that, so we appreciate the support. And some nice Dixieland music playing here at McDonald's, 42nd Street.
Yeah, it's insane. There's some kind of projection on one of the top floors, and like I said, guys, this place is nuts. They were like, you know, stage-style lighting. You know, it's all blue and black and red. And, you know, there's like that diamond plate walls, like, you know, that you often see in, like, you know, James Hetfield, I think, had a guitar with diamond plate on it. So this place is one heck of a cool McDonald's. So if you're in New York, go to 42nd between 7th Avenue and 8th Avenue, right across from the Spider-Man play that has been riddled with problems. Music by you two guys.
Yeah, that's correct. Anyways, this is At the Gates by Benedictum, and then we'll hear from Veronica Freeman. Thanks for joining us on Talking Metal.
Mark Striegel from the Talking Metal Podcast, and on the line we have Veronica from Benedictum. How you doing, Veronica?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am good. Thanks so much for joining us. I only recently was turned on to you guys through, I guess, Dustin, and great stuff. The new album just sounds great. Now, I guess this is actually your third record, though. So yeah. for myself and for the Talking Metal listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you guys, can you give us maybe the 2 or 3 minute history of the band?
Sure. We're originally from San Diego, and I guess we're kind of like a traditional metal. I really don't know how to describe exactly what we do. And we've had 2 albums out previously, which were on Locomotive Records, Uncreation and Seasons of Tragedy. And now we have the 3rd album, Dominion, on Frontiers. And it's kind of cool because this is like the 2nd time today where Dominion was the first album that was heard. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yes.
So that's kind of cool because now people are kind of going back and checking out the other stuff. And that's a cool thing. I'm glad we're getting noticed over here.
And how did you guys hook up with the people at Frontier?
Well, we were on Locomotive, like I said, for the first 2 albums. And at the time when Locomotive went under, we were looking, you know, you kind of like first get that little feeling of, man, what are we going to do? And then we started shopping around, and I had heard about Frontiers, and I did a little bit of research and kind of asked a few people that knew some people, you know, that sort of thing, and were they good people and all that kind of stuff. And then I had a friend of mine that knew someone there, get in touch with them for me, and you know, one of those kind of little networking things, and they were interested in taking us on, so that was cool.
Cool. Now, are you guys planning on any major touring to support this release?
Yeah, we hope to do some shows here in the States. We do have one scheduled for June, I think it's June 17th at the Warriors of Metal Festival in Ohio, and then we'll be touring Europe in October.
Excellent. And do you have, as far as your fan base goes, do you see a big difference between the fan base here in the States or in Europe? Is there one part of the world where you guys are more popular? Obviously, you're from San Diego, so maybe San Diego?
No, not San Diego.
not San Diego. Okay.
I would say because you're a perfect example. There's people that are just now hearing about us, and that's great. You know, we love that. Our fan base was mostly European, and now, and only very few, we didn't have that much exposure here in the States, even though we were from here. It's kind of strange. Most of our touring was over there. So we're hoping to definitely get a chance to play a lot more on U.S. soil and to get the U.S. metal fans going.
Cool. And will you be an opening or supporting act when you go out on the road in the States or headlining?
I really don't know yet. All that stuff is in the works, so as soon as I get word on that, trust me, I'll make sure everybody knows about it.
Cool. Now, you guys do some covers, I was reading. Now, is it true that you at one time had a Dio cover band or a Black Sabbath cover band?
A Dio tribute band type of thing, or cover band, whatever you want to call it. So That was for a short period of time because I was in a different band at the time as well and I'm working full time. But that was a lot of fun. And I forgot what the rest of the question was. I'm sorry.
I was just asking if you enjoy playing covers, and that was leading me to who maybe some of your influences are as a singer.
Yeah, obviously Ronnie James Dio would be one. A lot of, you know, Jeff Tate and I have a wide, very eclectic taste in music. So there's other, like Tina Turner and a lot of different vocalists that I really, really admire because I just like to study other people's approach to things. So there's so much talent out there in this world. And also the thing about the covers that on the first album, we have two Black Sabbath, Dio era Black Sabbath covers. We were supposed to only have one. One was just supposed to be a bonus track, and then ended up staying on there. It was only supposed to be a limited edition. And then we thought, well, you know what? Let's just have that kind of be the tradition. So we did a cover of Accepts Balls to the Wall on the second album, and then we did a Rush tune, Temple of the Syrinx, on this one.
Right, and the Rush tune is actually listed as a bonus track. What does that actually mean? Is it will it not be on the second printing, or is it not available on iTunes or something?
You know, that is a really good question because the CDs that I have it on there. So I think it's going to be on there. It's, you know, you have your traditional regular titles and then they wanted bonus tracks. So we gave it to them.
Right. I got you. Let's talk about the first two records. Now, you guys, at one point, is it true you worked with Jeff Pilson?
Yeah, Jeff Pilson is the producer and great friend of the band. When Craig Goldie was a friend of mine, he's the one that got me, I don't want to say discovered Benedictum, but is really responsible for us having a series of what I call really great events happen. So he'd always told me that when he heard something that he thought was quote unquote, you know, good enough, that he would see what he could do. And when he heard some of the stuff that we were doing, he was like, okay, now it's time. So he's the one that got a hold of Jeff Pilson. And Jeff listened to the body of work that we had at the time and said, okay, I can work with these people. So we went up there and did our 3-song demo with Jeff and then got signed to Locomotive and, of course, wanted to work with him as producer. He became like the sixth member of Benedictum. So we did the second album with him as well. And he's also featured on this third album, which we have a different producer, but, you know, he's still involved, and it's been, you know, it's been quite a little journey.
Cool. When you say he's actually featured on the third album, what is he doing?
He is singing on the first bonus track, the song called Sanctuary, singing an acoustic duet with me.
And now, when you said you went up to work with Jeff, where is he based, in Los Angeles?
Yes, he's based in Los Angeles, so that was a cool dream. That was a really interesting time when we first started out, because we learned a lot about songwriting from him. And it's very, for those who write music, they would be able to relate to that. It's really a different feeling to have someone take your stuff, you know, cut it apart, rearrange it, and make something else out of it. But we learned a lot from that, so that the second time we went up there, we were a lot more prepared and knew what his writing style was. And he really had quite a large hand in helping to shape us into what we what we are, I guess.
Now, you write all the lyrics. Now, does that include vocal melodies and stuff too, or are you strictly just writing the lyrics? It does include vocal melodies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have our little process. You know, Pete's usually the primary songwriter, but we had a lot of collaboration this time with other members as well. So I'll listen to the music and then find a part that really inspires me, and then I'll do a rough arrangement and, you know, do the lyrics and the melody for them.
Excellent. And you mentioned Pete. Can you go through all the members of the band and tell us who they are and what they're playing?
Certainly. There's Mikey Pannone on drums, Chris Strum on bass, Tony Diaz on the keyboards, and Pete Wells on guitar, who is a founding member with me for Benedictum, and he's been my writing partner, or I've been his writing partner, for many years.
And has there been, since you guys have done the three albums, has there been lineup changes?
Oh, good God, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's because now it's especially difficult because we're, like right now I'm in Phoenix. It's kind of interesting that I moved to Glendale, Arizona. He moved to Surprise, Arizona. Tony lives in Queen Creek, Arizona. And then Chris and Mikey still live in the San Diego area. So practices are pricey, especially with gas being.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, you know what? It's a labor of love. It's something we really want to do and try to keep together. So that's what we do.
Where is the best place for the Talking Metal listeners to get in touch with you guys online?
The best place would be our website, which is benedictum.net. And of course, there's a MySpace/Benedictum. You can get a hold of me personally on Facebook. I love that stuff. So it's Veronica Freeman. And then there's a Benedictum group as well. So please, by all means, stay in touch and get in contact.
Great. Well, we encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to go out and check out Benedictum and all the albums up on iTunes?
Yes, I believe they are.
Okay, great. But it's always great to also buy the CD. Yeah, buy the CD. There you go.
So blind my eyes, I cannot see. My mind aflame, insanity. Used to stand out in the rain to hide my tears. Conditioned, homeless, driven by 100 fears. Can you feel it? Feel it touching you? Can you hear it? What must I do? Say